Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that still might be unfamiliar with my voice, you might be a new listener. My name is Peter Mingles. We started Building Fortunes Radio a long, long time ago, and I was looking to have some guest hosts, so I called Pam Harshman, who was a customer of ours, and I told her what we were planning on doing relative to helping people and supporting people with home-based businesses. And she said, you know, Peter, we're going to be kind of moving in a different direction instead of like the MLM or the network marketing or affiliate side. We're going to actually become travel agents, meaning we, meaning her and her husband, Ron. And I was thinking, like, oh, shoot, I was really hoping that she would want to do something with our radio show because she's so good at what she does. She's a hard worker. She's got a lot of integrity. She's super-duper smart. She follows up and follows through. I mean, she's a perfect person to be a leader. And I guess, well, I started to say to myself, I've always learned that people bring their heads with them wherever they go. You know, like wherever you go, you show up. So I knew that she would become a great travel agent as well. So I said, let's do some radio shows on travel. And this is one of our longest-running radio shows. Now, I want you, as a Building Fortunes radio listening audience, to have the same level of enthusiasm that I have towards them. So if you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll see a really cool website that Pam has been building. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/harshman, you'll be able to hear previous radio shows. But if you're a new listener, I want to make sure that you learn a little bit more about their background so you could have the same level of enthusiasm that I have towards them being your travel agent. So it doesn't cost you any more money to be using them as your travel agent. You'll probably get a better deal, learn about, you know, all the different rules as they ever change, and be able to have somebody who's going to be remember who you are if you pick up the phone, especially in the case when you need them, like if your travel plans change. And they do sometimes because of weather or economy or anything else that might happen. You want somebody that you can, that knows what they're talking about and that you can trust as well. So we're on the other side of the 4th of July holiday weekend, and I want to say thanks, Pam, for being here on your own radio show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having us again. And, yes, we're kind of glad 4th of July is over. We love what it represents, but we have farm animals, and they don't like all the noise. Anyway, a little bit about my background. I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest, and I did that for several years. And slowly worked myself up into court administration and loved my job, absolutely just loved it. It was what I was made to do. However, I met my husband, and he lived down in sunny Florida, so it didn't take long, and I moved down to be with him. And once down here, I didn't want to start at the bottom of the ladder or anywhere in between, so I was looking for something I could do that would let me work pretty much independently and hopefully from home. Ended up getting my realtor's license followed by my broker's license, and sold real estate in South Florida for several years. That just wasn't my niche, and so I kind of kept looking around and went and got my life and health insurance license, and I sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Loved what I did. It was like going to everybody's homes and never knowing what was going to be waiting for me. There were times where I had four or five older ladies sitting around a table, had it all decked out for just short of a tea party, and sometimes it was two or three couples that I did not know were going to be there. But it was very rewarding just knowing that one of the most important decisions decisions that a senior has to make is about their future health care because, you know, shoot, that takes us through to the time we pass. So it was rewarding for me knowing that I was giving them all the information and answering questions that they needed answered before making that decision. At the same time, I was getting these carrots dangling in front of my eyes on my Facebook newsfeed about home-based businesses, MLMs, and I have to admit, I was in several of them. I had a couple losers, but I had some really good winners, and as you had said earlier, I was a customer of yours. And we just kind of hit it off from day one, and we've been friends ever since. But I learned an awful lot in that business, and that's what kind of was allowed me to work up our website, which I do. Ron does a lot of the other stuff, but I do the website. But anyway, one day when I was out in my travels, I got a phone call from a girlfriend of mine that out of the blue, just asked me if I had ever thought about becoming a travel agent. And it just kind of took me back because Ron and I, it hadn't even been a week. We had been talking about, we were empty nester baby boomers and we had some disposable income and our schedules were basically our own. So we were kind of comparing bucket lists and deciding, you know, where we wanted to go first and all that good stuff. And so when she said that, it just threw me back, and I couldn't wait to get home to talk to Ron. And we did some checking on the internet and did our research and due diligence and ended up getting all the different training things that we could both get our hands on and then the proper licensures, and we make a really good team. And so we went out there, and we have done a whole lot more traveling than we probably would have done otherwise. But at the same time, we've helped an awful lot of people get the most out of their travel dollars, and it's just been a win-win for us. That is until COVID hit. And that kind of crashed everything for everybody. But we are coming back strong and getting folks back in the travel mode. And we're getting ready to take our next trip as well. So it's all good.
Excellent. Okay, good. And then Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. Good to be with you again. Hope you had a good fourth. My background's very different from Pam's. Spent many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved, obviously, in my own clinical work, my own clinical practice, but also chose to get deeply involved in the self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I first started out, a friend of mine, a good teacher and mentor, suggested that it would be a good idea for me to get involved initially at the provincial level, working with the Provincial Association of Psychologists, and then gradually got involved at the national level as well, and the international level, and really enjoyed being in that whole arena. It's part of professional practice that very few professionals, regardless of the profession, really come to know and understand, whether it's medicine, dentistry, law, whatever. There's so much going on in the self-regulatory aspect of running a profession that you just don't know about unless you get involved. And I was very fortunate. I was elected as the chair of the Applied Division of the Canadian Psychological Association, ended up sitting on the board of directors, several ethics committees, professional affairs committees, representing the Canadian Association with the sister association here in the States, the American Psychological Association, and was very heavily involved and very appreciative. At the end of my career, I was elected as a lifetime honorary fellow of the Canadian Psych Association. So it was a good all-round experience, taught me an awful lot that I never would have been exposed to had I not gotten involved, and certainly gave me the opportunity to give back, as it were. In terms of my own clinical experience, I was very fortunate in my undergraduate and graduate training to have a number of professors that made a very strong point of saying that if we were even contemplating going into private practice at any time during our career, it would be very, very important to first gain as much varied clinical experience as we could working with different clinical populations, because when you do go into private practice, you hang up your shingle, you start seeing patients, you let people know that you are open, as it were, but you really don't have a lot of control over who calls to make an appointment, what their life situation is, what their struggles are, what they're really looking for help when they come to see you. And if you are totally foreign to their life situation and their life struggles, you really can end up doing a lot more damage than help to them. And I took that advice very much to heart, and made sure that before I did go into private practice, I got involved working for pretty much every one of the social service delivery systems. And that was a good experience. That was very, very good training for me. When I did go into private practice, it didn't take me too long before I started specializing, working with young couples, doing a lot of marital therapy, a lot of premarital, sexual therapy, etc. And as a result of working with that population, I soon found myself very involved in the whole legal arena, young couples going through divorce and fighting over child custody. And up until the time I got involved, it had pretty much been a foregone conclusion that if you had a young couple going through divorce and there were young kids involved and the couple were fighting over child custody and access, the courts almost always would grant custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And although that worked for many cases, we started seeing many too many cases where it not only didn't work, but it was a very, very negative, destructive outcome. And as a result of that, we ended up seeing a major change in the judicial system where the courts determined that going forward, for any decision to be made with regard to child custody or access, the decision had to be based on the psychological best interest of the children involved. And I was fortunate that when I got involved in that whole arena, there was this major change taking place. And I was one of several practitioners who were involved in the arena, and we got together and decided that we really had to work out a standardized plan of how to determine the psychological best interests of the kids involved, how to do proper child custody investigations, how to present that information in court, etc. And I ended up being very heavily involved in the formulation of that kind of standardized plan, ended up doing a lot of guest lecturing at the Faculty of Law, talking to law students about the proper use of expert witnesses, how to prepare, how to examine, how to cross-examine, etc. And I also ended up doing a lot of professional training at both social work conventions and psychology conventions, helping other practitioners who were interested in getting involved in what was a very, very challenging and heavy workload. In any event, after Pam and I were involved for a short period of time, we decided to semi-retire. We moved from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida, started raising alpacas. As Pam indicated, she got involved in the home-based business, multi-level marketing ballpark, And although I wasn't involved in that, I was fully supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk seriously about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, that was something that really hit both of us very square on, because from my own perspective, I really saw the opportunity to do the same kind of thing I'd been doing in my clinical practice all those years, but working with people in stressful life situations, you know, couples going through divorce, kids going off to jail, drug addiction, et cetera, and with becoming a professional travel consultant, I would be able to work with people facing positive life situations, couples planning weddings, anniversaries, multi-generational family vacations, retirement parties, et cetera. So we looked into it, decided if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way, made that decision, got all the training that we could, all the proper licensures. We also made the commitment to spend the time and the energy finding those vendors, those travel vendors, who we felt we could comfortably work with and support. And it's been a good adventure for us. We've done a lot more traveling than we ever would have been able to had we not become professional travel consultants. And as Pam indicated, we've been able to help a lot of people make the most out of their travel time and money. So with COVID, we saw some real degeneration of everything, some total stoppage. But throughout the radio shows during that period, we maintained a positive outlook, and it's been nice to see that the optimism that we shared during those months and years was well-founded, because today we really see that the travel industry in general and the cruise industry specifically have really come back much bigger and stronger than ever before, and we're continuing to see tremendous growth, not only here in North America, but worldwide. And this week we've got a number of other major announcements that really underline the direction things are going.
Excellent. Okay, good. So we're going to take a little commercial break. Make sure you check out harshmantravel.com, and we will be right back. Ron's going to give us that good news.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back. Peter Meagle's here with Pam and Ron Harshman. Ron's going to cover some of the good news. Can't wait to hear it. So, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. This week is no different than the last several. We've had a number of interesting announcements. Just in general, the global cruise industry came out with some statements about the state of the industry now that the first full month of summer is behind us, and just a number of storylines that they talk about. They're saying that ships are full. By all accounts, ships are full this summer, with the industry returning to historic occupancy levels. Stock prices, cruise stocks were at 52-week highs at the end of June. Carnival Corporation rallied after what was said to be a strong investor day in New York following its second quarter earnings call. United Travel is coming out victorious in its bid to for the assets of Vantage Travel. It was a big Chapter 11 bankruptcy that took place in June, and that one is looking like it's really going to make some people a lot of money. And overall, they are talking about the industry waiting to learn about the restart in China. where Royal Caribbean International and Adora Cruises have already confirmed their plans, and Cruise Saudis, a Royal Cruise brand, has a ship in Germany under construction. So the cruise industry, as I said before, is moving very, very quickly to not only catch up with but surpass all levels that were being hit prior to the onset of COVID. The other major thing that came out, and one of the stories I'm going to talk about in a minute, is that we're really seeing Starlink change the whole internet situation on cruise ships. More and more of the cruise lines have adopted SpaceX's Starlink broadband internet, and we are seeing that go with many, many of the cruise lines. AIDA Cruises, one of the Carnival Corp subsidiaries over on the European side, has just announced that they were installing Starlink on all of its ships, and this makes for pretty much every one of the major cruise lines to be installing Starlink, and they are really saying that this is making a tremendous difference, not only for cruise passengers, but also for the cruise line's personnel. People are being able to be in contact with their families in, you know, different countries around the world where people are being recruited for the cruise industry. And prior to Starlink being available, one of the major concerns and complaints of the crews aboard the ships was that they would go for days and weeks and sometimes months unable to be in contact with their family back home. And with Starlink, that has all changed. So that's nice to see. In Rome, the cruise terminal just reported that for the first 6 months of 2023, they welcomed 1,173,292 cruise transit and turnaround passengers. And those numbers surpassed those of 2022 by 86% when the terminal welcomed approximately 630,652 passengers. So again, we are seeing worldwide a tremendous increase in the number of people getting aboard cruise ships, the number of cruise ships landing at the different ports of call, and the economies being affected, as I say, worldwide. And it's just nice to see what's going on with that. Royal Caribbean opened their bookings for the Spectrum of the Seas sailings that will be going from Shanghai starting next April, and they will have 4- and 7-night cruises to Japan, and they are very excited because they say that Chinese vacationers have been eagerly awaiting to wander and make memories throughout Asia again. And Royal Caribbean is really taking part in that, and they right now are the leading company going into China and throughout Asia. So we'll wish them good in all they're doing. And again, as I've said before, we're seeing this kind of comeback worldwide, and it's very, very nice to see. Captain Cook Cruises are based in Fiji, and they have just acquired a 114-guest expedition ship, and they are going to be starting in November of 2023, a new, what they are calling a new era of high-end cruise experiences never before seen in Fiji. And they currently have one 168-guest ship. They're adding this 114-guest ship, and they are talking about continuing to grow and, again, add the cruise experience to people worldwide, new adventures, new itineraries, new ships, etc. So we really see that going on. I've mentioned before the number of cruise lines that are really putting out very big special deals to attract passengers and to up their bookings into not only 23, but 24, 25, and already we're seeing bookings into 26. And P&O Cruises, another one of the Carnival Corp subsidiaries in England, is just announced that they are having a very special deal for all of their Mediterranean cruises, and they are doubling the amount of onboard spending money for people who book before the end of July for either 13, 14-night Mediterranean voyages, and up to £640 per cabin will be available. And I don't know, I must admit, I'm delinquent in not knowing what the transformation is between pounds and dollars. I think it's about double, but they say that the prices are starting at £1,800 per person on these ships, and again, really going out of their way to make things much more attractive for people to get involved in the whole cruise experience. One of the not-so-good things that was just announced, just came out within the last day or so, the employment situation up in Alaska between the railroad company, the White Pass and Yukon route rail employees, they have been involved in non-productive union talks with the company. They say for over 6 years, and the salary has remained the same, etc. In any event, they're saying the previous agreement expired in 2017. Workers' wages have not changed, and they had big, big meetings over the last week or so, and unfortunately, those meetings came to a dead end with nothing being resolved. Under the Railroad Labor Act, they are forced to be involved in mediation and arbitration, and then if they don't, if both parties don't agree to the arbitration, there's a 30-day cooling-off period which has to take place, and after that, a strike could occur. And the news that's coming out of this labor union, just as I say, within the last couple of days, says that a strike could affect tens of thousands of vacationers visiting Alaska during the peak summer travel period. And it certainly is looking like that is threatening. So that is a labor relations event and relationship that we will definitely be paying attention to, because we have a lot of business going to Alaska. A lot of our people are booking cruises. We have a major group scheduled to go to Alaska at the end of the 24 summer period. We will definitely be paying attention, but they are saying that these trains routinely carry about 600 passengers, and they're some of the main dispute that they are having not only relates to wages and benefits and stuff like that, but apparently this is according to the union, so take that, you know, be aware of the source. But they are also complaining that the company is wanting to remove the brakeman from every train, and they are saying this is a safety-critical position for trains, and they are in no way prepared to see that position disappear. So that's something that, as they say, just came out within the last couple of days, it's a growing news story that we will definitely be keeping tabs on, but we would certainly hope that there is not a strike, because, as I said, that affects many, many thousands of visitors to Alaska. Many people extend their cruise vacation to a land journey as well, and one of those popular things in Alaska is the train transportation between different points. So it's not good news, but we will wait and see how that all unfolds. In any event, we are getting a lot of reports in on specials that are coming out over the next short while. People are already booking holiday vacations, Christmas cruises in Europe on the riverboats. People are planning different cruise vacations around the world, we will be reporting on a lot of the different specials that the different cruise lines are coming up with. But again, just very, very pleased to see the continual positive string of announcements coming out from every one of the major cruise lines talking about increased numbers, increased bookings, increased numbers of purchases of ships, etc. And we were right in our prognostications, Mr. Peter. We were correct, and we can pat each other on the back for that.
Excellent. Yep, for sure. So it looks like if you're going to be booking a trip, just as we round this out, you want to go to harshmantravel.com. But don't think that you need to have all of your money straight up front. You can put a small deposit on it. You can pay it off as you like. And there's a refund policy where I know Ron has mentioned this and educated us through previous radio shows that as long as you request a refund before the final monthly payment or the final payment is due, you can get a refund, no questions asked. So you can book the trip, get the savings, and if whatever happens, you need to change your mind, you can certainly do that. So the best place to go is harshmantravel.com. So, Ron, I'll let you wrap it up, and we'll speak to each other next week.
All righty. Well, hope everybody had a safe and meaningful 4th of July. We were talking about the fact that in our area, fireworks were much less on the 4th, but much higher couple days after the 4th, so I don't know what was going on there. But anybody who is interested in any travel whatsoever, whether it's cruise, land vacations, resort vacations, or whatever, please harshmantravel.com. You can call us on our 800 number. We would be more than happy to do the research, come up with a number of options for you to consider, And as Peter mentioned, you can reserve your trip, take advantage of the money-saving specials being offered by the various vendors, and your money is 100% guaranteed refundable until the final payment due date, which is much closer to the actual embarkation date. So if your plans do change, you haven't lost anything, and if thankfully your plans do not change and you're able to take advantage, you booked yourself a tremendous vacation. So take advantage of what's going on.
Excellent. We'll see everybody next week. Yep. Perfect. We'll see everybody next week. Thank you. Okay, bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.